Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Fella,
my man.
Fella Tour is about to launch off. And by the way, speaking of launching off, or these guys in the show are now on their team breaks.
So I've been seeing on social media. Yeah,
there were still these bye weeks when you were in the league, right?
Yeah, there was. But now I feel like the teams have, like, whether 3 days early or 3 days later on these breaks, because it used to be just a straight up like 5 days, these are it. But I feel like some guys were in Punta Mita or, you know, Colombia.
Weeksy baby's in Punta Mita.
Yeah. Is that where he is?
The Four Seasons.
I'm hitting a nice iron there. Yeah. Nice tee shot.
No, listen. So most of the teams are off. There's a couple teams that are still stranded playing. The Blue Jackets and Blues. The Kraken and Sharks are still playing.
Yeah.
So these guys will get their bye after.
They're getting it deep.
Yeah.
Deep
so my question to you would be, would you want your break before or after the All-Star break? I got my answer.
I'd want it before.
Yeah,
I'll
me
tell
too.
You why.
Tell me.
Because the longer you wait, these teams are back at it and they're fucking humming. And you're going to come back and get absolutely exploited.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking the other way, because then I would use the actual All-Star break weekend to then come back and kind of recover, right? And then, boom, as soon as the All-Star game's over, you're back into it.
Yeah, and because you love the skills comp so much, you want to watch
it. Yeah, exactly. Couch. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, right now you're on a bender. So then the bender's going on, and then, you know, you get home Friday or whatever, or even fly home Saturday, and then you got the Saturday, Sunday. I mean, listen, there's no games till Monday.
Yeah, I just think...
See what I'm saying?
So yeah, say like the Blues and the Kraken tonight, who don't get their All-Star break until, you know, it's going to be Wednesday of this week. Teams are already... I've been off since Saturday. They're going to come back, you know, 4 days after these guys have been practicing. They've been playing already a game or two, and they're going to get caught on the first PK early, and it's going to be tic-tac-tizzy in the fucking back of the net, and you're dash one. And your coach is looking at you like, how much fucking beers did you have over
there? Exactly. How much fun did you have?
Yeah.
And then
it was a lot.
If you are an All-Star, I think having your break before the All-Star game is great, right? Because right now, like, McKinnon and the boys in Colorado, Draisaitl and the boys in Edmonton are on their break right now. Yeah. So you go, I'm sure they don't go as hard as we used to go on the All-Star or bye week. But now you have your fun. Then you go to your All-Star game, get back in the swing of things, and then come right in. Like, I think these All-Star guys that had the break before, which is most of them, we'll come back humming even more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting take from our boy Sean Avery, too, on his pod. It was hilarious. Did you hear it?
I saw his clip, yeah.
What he did hit bang on, I don't know if a lot of the guys and the wives are loading up a G5. I don't know if guys are writing those checks. You know, you'd hope they are, because there's a lot of money being made by the, you know, older, younger, or
if you're an
whatever,
all-star.
Married guy. Yeah.
If you're an All-Star, you should have your own private
plane. Yeah, but most of the guys affording the G5 might be in the game.
Yeah.
So they're not flying anyone's wife anywhere but besides their own and their family. But anyway, the one I loved was when he said Ziegs, and he's like, he's got the babes already on the tarmac and ready to go. And the one thing I will say is it took me a while to teach and even understand myself just how to do a proper All-Star break. It took me well into my, you know, late 20s before I realized, like, you know, if you're going to go get a big ass house in Cabo, or you're going to get, you know, that beach shack down in, you know, or other Punta Mita or Miami, wherever the case may be, you better bring some, because you don't want to be out there just with you and your boys. You're all no tans. You've been, you know, you haven't seen sunshine for how long, and you're going in and the single boys are like, you know, where are they all at? Like, you know, it's tough just going in just Han Solo. You might as well bring a couple.
I mean, I went to Vegas every All-Star break, Han Solo, and I fucking did just fine. But like Cabo, I mean, Cabo too. Come on, man. You don't.
You bring some, whether you wait, just to have them.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, you go to the dinners and they're there. They look good. It just attracts more.
Yeah.
It brings the more the vibe to the boys.
So you
and
brought,
you know, some boys are going to be there and they fall in love immediately. That's kind of not the case, but just to have them showcase, you know, a nice trip, 4 days, all expenses paid for.
Yeah.
Just to, you know.
I think Cabo is like one of the places where you if you're single, you don't bring chicks because they're everywhere.
I know, but still, you're not tied down to anything, put it that way. Well, when you bring them.
Well, I think most girls would think if you bring them, you're tied down to them. No,
it's good just to,
like, hey, here, sign this waiver. It says right here that we're not in a relationship for the
waiver. Well, okay, different, right? Relationships, totally different. Guys, that's why I think there's got to be the fine line, like a border wall of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the high fenced one with the barbed wire that just says, hey, this is very nonchalant. You're going to come in. You know, it's going to be super chill. We're going to be teeing it up. You're going to be at the pool with your babes. Go grab some tacos and, you know, whatnot at Nowhere Bar or wherever. And then we're going to meet up for a nice dinner and it's going to be super chill. Might end up at the strip club later. We might end up at, you know, Mandela, but it's going to be very, you know, it's just, there's no pressure.
No, listen. I, you know, when I was single, there's places where you want to bring, you know, girls, right? I went to one All-Star break in Aspen. I brought some girlfriends with me with a couple of my boys, the Windbag and the Fact Daddy. Obviously, if you go to a place like Maui, I think you'll bring a friend that you know, a girl with you. There's places you do bring girls.
Yeah.
Cabo, in my opinion, is not one of them if you're single.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, see, so this is what I would say to that, is Maui is a couple's destination.
Yeah.
So as soon as you invite someone to Maui, they immediately think it's oh, wow, this guy's super nice. He's actually bringing me Hawaii. Never been to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, never seen the, you know, sunset over the island.
Sure.
When they go to Cabo, it's like, okay, so what's the situation? Do we each have our own room? Yes, of course. We're going to give you the left wing of the house. You have four girls, take the whole two bedrooms. It's yours. And then the guys, whether it's, you know, three or four guys, you don't want to have good numbers. They got the other rooms and so Cabo's a party town. It's very nonchalant. Like, you know, there's no pressure at all. That's, I don't know. At least that's the way I always approach the situation. So me teaching, you know, the younger guys at the time, it was like, hey, it's nonchalant. Like, you know, these are some of the coolest girls that we met this year. And, you know, no one's no one's got this like relationship with any of them. So they're a perfect group to bring. And then you play it by ear.
Listen, I think
as long as they don't care when you go golfing, because the boys are going to go tee it up.
I think it's a win-win situation what you're talking about. But I mean, I was always a staple where I was going to Vegas, right? I went to Vegas to meet Loops usually. I don't know if me and you ever did Vegas together for the All-Star break, because I think you were with Mel then.
Yeah, but I did come in one year when I went to Vail quickly with her. We finished in Denver.
Yeah.
And I went to Vail. You might have actually went to Aspen that year. But I went to Vail for 2 days. I only know this because we stayed at the Four Seasons and I sprained my ankle first day skiing. Like, I mean, busted. I got cut off by, it was my first time ever.
You were skiing over All-Star break?
Yeah. I went skiing, sprained my ankle. And then I go to Vegas. So we leave Vail and I'm literally with the ice bags on, go right to Vegas for a two-nighter. And then I went to this crazy zoo. Like, we went out to this zoo outside of Vegas and I was petting fucking Siberian tigers. You remember those photos I had with
all that, and they
were it was badass. I remember who was the D-man played in Long Island, but he had all the fucking crazy animals. Do you remember him back in the day? Long hair. I played with
Brandon
him.
Witt.
Brandon Witt. He sets me up. I text Witt because I played with him a couple years before, and I'm like, hey, you know, I saw you and your wife and the kids, like whether it's on Facebook or something, you're with this crazy like lion tamer guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then I heard it was the animals like in The Hangover, like Mike Tyson's tiger and stuff. Like, it was those animals in those movies were what this guy had on his farm. And the guy's like, yeah. Witt was like, go see this guy. He's an hour out of town, but get a limo, blah, blah. So we go in there, and yeah, after like two or three days of you know, partying pretty good in Vail in there, and we go in hung titty to this fucking farm. I remember the guy opened up the gate. He's like, all right, go in. I go, what? Go in. And so we go in, and these fucking big ass tigers, man. You like pet them and stuff. It was wild.
Crazy.
But that was, I was sure you were in Vegas with us that time, no?
No, I don't remember that. I wasn't with you. I don't think me and you ever did a Vegas for All-Star break together, which probably, looking back, was probably good. Well, we
probably
did,
good.
Yeah. We did a lot of Vegas trips in the off season. Yeah. I saw Aves' clip. I don't know what he's talking about with all the like private aviation talk. Yeah. I mean, Zegras is the, what's Z making? Five?
No, Z signed a
four? We could look this up probably, but
I think he got a 4-year, $6 million.
Did he get six? So that's pretty
4-year, $6 million.
But he's not at the point yet where he's flying around. I mean, you could probably take a private plane from here to Vegas. But
no, I would tell him not to fly private. Just be like, yeah, it's not. Yeah. Plus, you just look like that guy early. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place.
Do you remember think back like maybe we should have just actually taken the break for what it was supposed to be, an absolute
so
break?
So many times.
Because I come back.
When I was older, bro.
Oh, dude, I come back really from the break. Yeah. And I'm like, I need a break from my break.
Yeah, you got to enjoy it.
Yeah, but I went too hard.
So I had a prime opportunity coming back 1 year. Hitchcock was our coach in St. Louis. And of course, we go to Cabo, Billy Quinn's house. God, well, what a
shock. God bless you, Quinner.
And listen, I get back.
I'm going to see Billy soon.
My first period of the game, I'm on the fucking first line, Opes, right? I'm like, I haven't been on the first line in, you know, 10 years.
Since Kootenay.
Yeah.
Or Kamloops. Since Kamloops.
And I'm on the first line in first period, like the puck was just, I was fighting it, you know? And of course, it's just, I have him looking over my shoulder and I know he's like, I'm giving you this fucking opportunity right now. And what you're doing is proving to me that you had way too much fun in Cabo, right? Like, you know, I should have came back a day earlier. I should have fucking, and I was just like, ah. Oh.
That's a gutless move by Hitch, though, giving you that opportunity when he knows.
No.
He knows you're coming back.
I wanted it.
He knows you're coming back.
I'm a pretty good hungover player.
Yeah, but there's a difference between having one night on the road to going on a full all-star bender and coming back and trying to play on the top line.
I know.
Dude, my first game after all-star break, you want to talk about keeping it simple. I probably should have done it more in my career, but I was just up the wall.
In Denver?
Any all-star break. Okay. When I first came back, up the wall change. Don't touch anyone. Don't talk to anyone. I'm just looking at that clock, hoping I can go even faster because I want out of that game.
The one thing I will say is down the stretch, as I was older, you know, Billy's got the nice gym upstairs. Hey, beautiful view, nice gym.
Yeah.
I was in there and I'd get up there and I'd do some abs. I'd do some, you know, body weight squats. I'd stretch it out, stretch the body. Then we'd go play a little tennis. Like, we're moving around, you know, and we golf a bit.
Yeah.
We're dancing.
You know.
Doing a little dancing.
Mandela.
So it's not like I was just sitting there and getting pinned at a bar, like with the bar back and, you know, just drinking tequila.
That's what I was doing. Yeah. That's what I was doing. Hey, listen, we talk about, you know, being jealous of hockey players. I'm not typically jealous except for every 2 weeks when they get paid. But I'm jealous when I see these boys.
Yeah, this time of year where they're just letting it eat. Thank God bless you, boys. Enjoy them all.
Because
you might have eight. You might have two in your career. You might have eight all-star breaks. Or you might, you know, like us, we got up into the teens, so yeah. It was a good time.
Enjoy it. It just goes by so fast.
Sure does.
Like, as soon as that final buzzer goes and you come in after the game and hopefully you won, but if you lost, you're like, okay, we'll go. You're so excited, and then all of a sudden you're back on that flight back home, you're like, oh my God, I got practice tomorrow. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And then you're back at it.
You're back at it.
The paychecks keep coming.
But yeah, that's true. Updog, NFL Playoff Championship Sunday. Couple really good games. I obviously didn't hit my future bet. The Chiefs, they stuck it to me, but
it's a good try though, bro.
I'll tell you what, man. This, you know, Patty Mahomes, this team, I watched this Chiefs team play a lot this year. And they just didn't have it heading into the playoffs. And whatever that freezing cold day in Arrowhead, the game I was at against the Dolphins, whenever they found that, they've continued to bring it on. Kelce was unbelievable. Love him or hate him for what he's doing with all the Taylor Swift bullshit. I mean, I think he had 12 catches. What a win for them, man. I'll tell you right now, I am not going to bet against them in the Super Bowl. I feel bad for Lamar Jackson. And you know what? The dumb, of course, his name is Flowers because the guy is a tool.
Yeah.
The taunting penalty, you're, what are you doing?
Oh, I thought you meant Larry Flowers.
What are you doing? Well, yeah, him too. But yeah. The Flowers, the receiver for the Ravens. Like, dude, don't, you just made the biggest play of the game. Don't spin the ball like a donkey. Don't do it. Just get up and go to the line. And then. I get you're trying to get in, but like you can't. I don't think from the 4-yard line, it's easy for me to say from the bar at A&O, But to lean over, they lose the ball, touchback. You can't give the Chiefs that opportunity.
No. And that to me is one of the biggest plays I can remember in my modern day watching the NFL football, having some money on it, was he's an inch away from the tip of the ball crossing that line, it being a touchdown, and he's a star. He becomes the star of the game.
I know it's gonna be tough.
I watched the first quarter. I was in the desert. Watched the first quarter there with some pretty cool people who also had some money on the game. And watching Patty Mahomes out of the gate, it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Just because his passes were on. I think he made the first 11 or 12 completions to start the game off. Methodical drives, took time off the clock, played just KC fucking Andy Reid football. As underdogs, I read going in that the GOAT Patty Mahomes was 9-1-1 against being like when underdogged.
Yeah.
When you look at that, it's there for a reason. Those stats don't lie. And in a conference final game like that, that's conference final, yeah, Championship Sunday, that's when he turns it on. That's when Patty Mahomes is a guy that makes plays based on his instincts. He's brave, stands in there, he's tough, gets hit, fucking runs.
Yeah.
And having those weapons still that now, unlike earlier in the season when you had Patty Mahomes, your quarterback in fantasy, and none of his receivers could catch a
cold
beach ball.
Couldn't catch a cold.
Now, yeah, couldn't catch a cold. Now what they have is, a pedigree of we've done it before, we've been here, and now heads up.
No shit.
Crazy.
And I'm at A&O. Shout out to Todd Pickup, Tom Riley, the boys. A&O is a great establishment, mm-hmm. but it's a classy establishment. I'm in there with $20,000 on the line on my futures bet. And I'm yelling at the TVs and shit. I'm going pure K-Wash style. I'm yelling at the TVs, this and that. And it's just turning on me. And I got this pigeon sitting beside me. And shout out, this is where I'm going with this. Kansas City's defense has been unbelievable all year. Steve Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo? Is that how you say it, Max?
Spagnola.
Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo.
Spatula.
Spumoni.
Spumoni.
Spags, they call him, right? They call him Spags?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stick to that. His buddy, I'm not John Madden, but I was watching the he had two guys here, a guy over here, and he had Lamar just in one. And this guy beside me is like, oh, man, the Chiefs' defense all year has been brutal. I can't believe they're playing this good. Oh, my God, their defense. Finally, I go, hey, dummy, they're top five in defense, and they haven't given up 30 points all year. So can you stop saying their defense sucks, please? Can you stop? And he kind of looked at me like that, and I just turned my shoulder back around like that. And within like 5 minutes, he got his check and left. I was like, sorry, Pick. But I just couldn't listen to this guy continue to say to his girlfriend, who was a Chiefs fan, that their Chiefs' defense have been brutal all year. Their defense has been unbelievable, man.
They have, yeah.
They've been sick.
I mean, they stopped Josh Allen in the fourth quarter last week. And that to do that in a stage like that in Buffalo, in that weather, I mean, that's dude, championship football.
They've went into Buffalo and then in Baltimore.
Yeah.
In two hostile environments and came out of there. Listen, we're going to get into our picks, but I just, it's amazing what they've done. Hey, listen, I'll say one thing. At least I bagged on Taylor Swift a lot. At least she was down there on the field with her man, with his arm around her.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? He actually looked like a fucking G, Kelsey, right? With the richest, most famous chick in the world. And he's got his thing around his shoulder. Like, I was like, all right, fella, I get it now. Maybe I get it now. Maybe it's just jealousy I've been talking about this whole time.
All of us.
Right? I thought that was it. The most real moment I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like the rest of showing her in the box and cheering with all her rich, famous friends, I'm like, all right, this could be a publicity stint. But that to me seemed like they actually really care about each other. And that was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is after all the shenanigans this year, there's no way she could have done that earlier. But when you get to put on, the championship hat with the t-shirt and you get to just get buckled down there,
Yeah.
It's only fitting that became her moment to be on the field like that.
Yeah. Shenanigans is a good word.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, remember the movie Super Troopers? He's like, if one more person says shenanigans, I'm going to pistol whip him. The guy's like, hey, Farmer, what's that place where you get all the drinks, all the funny shit? What, shenanigans? Oh. Oh, I love that movie. I'm going to have to watch it. Well set up, dog. I mean, listen, they're rolling. Patty Mahomes, man, I just
it's something.
Something.
Yeah.
So now let's move to game two. Now I'm on tilt the other way. Now I'm trying to, now I go money line again on the Niners. I take them both ways and the Lions come out running it down their throat. Listen, I love Dan Campbell. live by the sword, die by the sword kind of thing. I get it. I do think he probably should have kicked those field goals instead of going for them. But, I mean, what a comeback by the Niners, man. That McCaffrey, you've been saying all year his body's banged up. That guy was running like...
I know.
Dude, he's crazy.
He's crazy. He's a stud. To me, that's...
He's a stud.
You know, you got Kelsey on that side, but I would count... You know, Christian McCaffrey's girlfriend is just an absolute, you know, 12 out of 10.
She better be.
Yeah. But this guy, he's just a beast. Dude. He runs. He just, every time that ball gets put in his arms, it is the last run he'll ever, it's like he runs the last time he'll ever run on fucking planet Earth, you know.
So does that Pacheco for the KC, but yeah. You're absolutely right. McCaffrey, and he was
he wants you to take him on too, right?
He was running guys over in that championship game and then chirping him like,
yeah,
like,
I know,
not strong enough, fuck you, or stuff like that.
I know, he's a G to me, right? Yes. And I had him, he cost me my fantasy because he left the second quarter of that last game. But, you know, looking at that game, what did I do? I had a little bit of a teaser. I did the teasy. I went teaser Niners to win by point and a half, and then I took the over, which... You know, once, you know, Detroit got up 24-3 or whatever, 24-7, I'm like, okay, it's going over because San Fran will make a push. And then anyway, whatever. But watching that game with you guys, it was, it was disappointing. Although Detroit, like the storybook on Detroit, Dan Campbell being the guy, heart and soul guy he is, his speeches are great. Players live and die by, you know, his energy and his emotion. Jared Goff. You know, Jared Goff's a guy. I know Teddy Purcell went to the game. Jared Goff's a member of Bel Air. He took all of his boys from Bel Air down there, got him field passes. It was a great story. Shitty that it had to end, but San Fran obviously was the better team. They were one of the best teams all year. I think it's sizing up to be an incredible Super Bowl. Two teams that, you know, San Fran's D didn't quite play the way they usually did, but you got two great Ds. You got a young quarterback versus a guy that's been there before, so a great story there. And then you got, it's an all-star studded lineup.
Yeah.
It's going to be great in Las Vegas, which, you know, call it what it is. It's going to be a wild Sin City, baby.
It's going to be a great week. That Greenway hit in the second half when Greenway stepped up the linebacker. Oh, my God. Like, his arm was just like, we're like, shake it off, fella. He's like going back to the sidelines. Like, that hit was one of the big, like, he stepped up. Shoulder right on the guy. I mean, what a hit.
By the way, did you see what a hit. I happened to see it yesterday, but did you see the guy try to step on Purdy's legs? Did you guys see that highlight? Brutal. Insane. The guy, Purdy gets hit over. He's got the ball. He had just rushed, and the other guy comes in, boys, and it's Stomp City with his cleat right on like his groin. It was crazy. You got the highlights wild. I forget where I saw it, but our listeners, you know, most beauties out there who just keep sports on all day, you'd have seen this too, but you know, anything goes, right? Like, hey, this guy's starting to run the ball now. He's making his plays, and we're gonna fucking lose this game unless I take this guy out. I'm gonna step right on his.
Yeah, I mean, listen, whatever it takes to win it, and the way Purdy used his legs, unbelievable.
I know,
that's a difference.
I'm happy for that kid.
Yeah, he's gonna get paid. Pay that kid. He's making like $575. Pay him. Dan Campbell's press conference. Guy wears his heart on his sleeve. That's why I love him. I love him for many reasons, but like. He made a great point, and like I think people don't realize this enough, and that's what's so impressive about the Florida Panthers the year they're having is like he's like, we may not get back here. You're like, do I think we will? Yeah. Do I believe we will? Yeah. But in all honesty, we may never get back to this game, and it's going to be even harder to get back to this point than it was this year because people are looking for us. No one's taking us lightly. Like, it's so true. Like, you don't realize how hard it is to get to this point, and now that we're just fans and sports gamblers – we forget as athletes, like the feeling those guys must have had in that room after, right? The Lions, like you go all that way, and then all of a sudden it's just boom, it's over. Like, it hurts, man.
Yeah,
it hurts.
Those guys, after every season, you look around, no matter what, you will never play with that full group of guys again. And that reality is what falls onto the coach. And, you know, and then it filters down through players. But you look around and you know, all the moments you had all year, the good and the bads. Are now memories, and you know it hurts to lose. It hurts to, you know, for every winner, there's a fucking loser, and it stings. And you know, facing the music and those decisions that might fall on the coach, that you know, 60-70% of the time worked. I think I read something that, you know, they went for 14 times
Oh, that was, they go for it on fourth down all year.
And it worked like 12.
Yeah.
Like they, less than 3 yards worked 12 times out of the 14. You know.
The analytics say go for it.
I know, but fucking, also analytics say just kick it and make it a three-score game. Or tie the game with, you know, the 7-8 minutes left. Tie it.
Yeah, I think you should have kicked it. Fuck. But, I mean, like you're saying, win or lose, hit the booze. And like they say once upon a time in Hollywood when he's like, because these guys are brothers. When he's like, you have a friend that's more than a brother and a little less than a wife, it only means one thing. It's going to be a good old-fashioned drunk, right? And that's it, right? You lose, you look around. Listen, I'll tell you, I cried every time I lost the playoffs. The 4 times I lost the Stanley Cup playoffs, I cried. Took me about 25 minutes. And then I looked around the boys before getting on the plane. And I said, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get in one.
Totally.
Let the red wine flow. I'm leaving my car at the parking lot. And after party, we land boys at my house. Let's go to my condo and let's just, because you're never going to be with those guys again. There's always going to be some changes. So we'll save our Super Bowl picks for next week up, dog, when we're out at the Waste Management Open.
Absolutely.
But we'll be right back at Mr. Curfew. Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew. Up dog. Uppy's World.
Party time.
Party time. Excellent. Palm Springs. Madison Club.
What a treat. It was so good to say. But by the way, thanks to our boy Benny Mack. For having Mac the fellas attack. Out, Benny Mac, having the fellas out, Dennis Shannon hosting the boys, El Dorado Country Club. What a treat. This place is old school Palm Desert, right? What a treat. It's so right up against the mountains in the oldest part of Palm Springs. This place, I mean, talk about a tight track. This course is, I don't know, it's over 50 years old. The thing curves and weaves amongst all these mid-century modern fucking dime piece little shacks.
Retro.
Perfect shacks with the little circle pools, all the colored umbrellas. But, you know, shout out to Benny McAllister for having the boys down for a treat. And then last but not least, kid I grew up with, Northern Alberta boy, Jesse Vanderveer.
This kid is a fucking Alberta dude boy. I met him on Wednesday night. Manchester took me over to his house. This guy is a good Alberta lad.
Yeah, listen, so shout out to him and his wife, Dee. It was his 40th birthday. I went to grade school. Yeah, welcome to the club, Jess. I went to grade school with this kid at the time, met him at the Bel Air member guest last year. He's looking at me. He's like, up dog, how you been, bud? Remember me, Jesse? And I'm looking at him and he looks
like,
he looks the same. When he's like, we went to school together. I'm like, you look the same as you did when you were a kid. And that kind of, when you don't see someone for that long and all of a sudden you're kind of surprised when they say hi.
Yeah.
The same, they resemble each other, right? So we get talking and, you know, he's like, I got to move the kids down to Palm Springs in the winter with the family. And we live at Madison Club. And I went, what?
Now he's got your attention. Now he's got your attention.
Oh, and I was shooting shit because we're at Craig's. We're in Hollywood. We're having old fashions the right way. And so of course he's catching my attention. And then, you know, he's like, Madison Club. I went, what? From Fort Mac to Madison Club. You must have an incredible story. Yeah, cool. And he does. And so. Shout out to him and his boys. They all came down, bunch of Alberta boys. They brought the band. They played an incredible fucking, you know, it was like a wedding. But, you know, shout out to Madison Club, as you well know. You played on Thursday with Chester and the boys.
Yeah.
This place is a treat. It's, you know, heart and soul, just one of the coolest properties that Discoveryland owns. It's right next to Coachella, the grounds of Coachella Music Festival. Course is mint shape. So we played golf the one day. We got banged up. I mean, Gary was there. We got banged up, and we had a great time. The dance party continued. Christina came in. You know, we left the kids at home, and we just had a good old-fashioned Alberta piss-up.
Mom and Dad
was a good old-fashioned Alberta piss-up, Obes.
Speaking of a piss-up, I played Master Club Wednesday, and then Thursday right into El Dorado. And listen, I got the first couple holes. I was kind of like that. And then I had a nice buzz going. And then I got to 13. You know when you get to 13 and you turn to your partner and you say, is this 17? He's like, no, this is 13. I'm like, oh boy, this is fucking going to get ugly down the stretch, bro. And by the end, I was one iron or up dog. Like I was two pin.
You were, eh?
I was two pin. But what a beautiful spot.
It was a beautiful spot. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, what I mean, the desert, how lucky are we? And Max, I mean, you grew up down here. you live in Orange County or California, LA, whatever, 2 hours from fucking when it's raining here and it's just like, ah, it's, you know, we get picky, eh? We get picky and lucky with the way the weather is here. But sometimes it's a little chilly in the winter. And you just fucking go up over that little mountaintop and then you come down and you're in the desert and it's like 75, beautiful, sunny, you know, yeah. You got, it's a little old, mind you, right? You go out to the nest or whatever, you're looking around, you're like,
we'll be there soon enough.
Where in the fuck am I?
Speaking of the nest, they were playing bangers in there. That band at the live band was unbelievable.
The sax and the fucking jazz flute and the fucking piano guy, he's singing Tears for Fears and it's just... It's an 80s eclectic mix for sure.
It's a cool little spot. I mean, yeah, it's older crowd, but the music, the how loud they played in there. You could have a good rookie party in there.
Totally. So, and then shout out, I played with Moss, G4 Moss, one of the best clothing designers on the planet. John Elway, an absolute beauty and an absolute beauty, not on and off the field. And then Victor Coleman, good Canadian guy, plays at Bel Air, big hockey guy. Good buddies with Stoli, good buddies with Dion and Teddy. They're all members at Bel Air. But these guys were legends, and we had an incredible weekend. So happy birthday, Jess.
We call that a National League weekend there. Uppy's World. Party time. Excellent. Stoli, babe. Let's get the boys out to Bel Air. DraftKings bets, fella. First of all, we bag on Columbus, although it was your favorite place to play.
Yeah.
In 2016-17, where you were still in the league, right? I wasn't. They won 16 games straight somehow. Torts, John Tortorella. They didn't lose a game in
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah. Anyways, fast forward to 2024. It's a little bit of a different squad. Listen, if you're a live bettor out there and you're on that glorious DraftKings app, if you ever see the Columbus Blue Jackets heading into the third period winning a hockey game, hammer the live bet. These guys, when I did this last week, they were minus 33. Then they gave up four. Listen, they're close to being minus 40 in the third period. And listen, I've played on teams like this, right? They're a young team. They play hard for the first two periods, and then they get in that third period, and then these good teams, they turn it up a bit, and bad things happen. And it happened to me my second year in Tampa. We're in these hockey games. Third period comes, find a way to lose. So, fellas, if you're out there in the second half and you see the old C-busters leading going into the third, hammer the live bet because I'm sure it's going to be pretty good odds at Updog. Minus... I guess it would be 38, almost 40 now in the third period. Just a young hockey club.
Yeah, and you know, you're on top of this, eh? You're on top of these little analytic stats, boys. If you guys need, just text Obes in his DMs because he's got the ones, boys, where the teams are just flopping.
They're flopping.
Yeah. It takes a sack when you want to bet the, you know, whether it's a live bet and you're like, ah, fuck, here we go. But
so, yeah. So last,
you're going to get good odds.
Buddy,
it's better than me live betting, sorry, Obes, but live betting Djokovic down the whole stretch against Sinner this weekend. And what a match. And congrats to this fucking Jannik Sinner. What an incredible way to win the Aussie Open. What a stud.
For a guy who's got no quads.
He's got little chicken legs.
Like, how's this guy play tennis?
Old fucking in a forehand. But I was betting Djokovic the whole way, live bets, and that didn't work out. But in this case, you're going to get good odds still if they're up a couple goals.
Dude, they were up 4-1 heading into third against the Canucks. So the Canucks would have been plus 400 or so, maybe more. More than that. Came back, beat him. So I don't do a whole lot of live betting.
Yeah.
I think maybe I should start, but if you got that nice, sexy DraftKings app, I'm telling you, Updog.
Love it.
For the fans of Columbus, honestly, this team plays hard. You know, Fantilli got a skate in the calf the other night against the Kraken, which the Kraken was the biggest lock of the locks in that game. But they played hard, man. I don't know their coach. You know, he wears the sweater under the jacket. I think Tort started that. I don't know if I love the sweater under the jacket.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know the coach either.
I don't know. I mean, he's Pascal something or other.
Okay.
No disrespect to him. I probably should know his name, but they play hard. You know, Goody's on the back end playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they've been patient for a while, but better days ahead. But if you can get them on a live bet, fellas, get on them. So, Updog. Missing curfew, dog of the week.
Dog of the week.
I want to give an honorable mention to Connor Garland. He was going to be the missing curfew dog of the week. And then, unfortunately, our boy Brady Tkachuk. And listen, for you guys out there in the Ottawa Senators fan base, and I love Ottawa. Used to go there for every July 1st. Canada's not perfect. But for you mutants that are saying, why is Brady fighting? It changed the complexion of the game. We are up 2-0. The Rangers came back. Have you checked where you are in the fucking standings? All right? Okay? First of all, you're last fucking place, okay? And they drove the young kid, Tim Stutzel, into the boards.
Yeah.
Was it a clean hit? Maybe it was. But if you're ever going to complain about your captain going out and sticking up for his teammates, I don't want you supporting my team. So for you mutants out there that are saying that to me, first of all, stop following me. Second of all, give your head a shake. This kid is exactly what every organization wants.
Yep.
And for you guys up there that are chirping, when he leaves town, which I'm sure is going to happen if this continues, you'll wish you had Brady Tkachuk. So up dog, Brady,
dog,
keep going, man. I absolutely love it up.
Yeah, some of the best captains that I grew up watching would fight for their teammates.
Totally.
Look at them all. Aginla, Thornton, Getzlaf, come on. This is what you do. If you don't have that guy, you would want him in a second. So,
and this is no disrespect to John Tavares. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an absolute pro. He's a coach's dream. He's probably the nicest guy on the planet. And he's a good player. But if you could have Brady Tkachuk in Toronto over John Tavares right now as your captain, how many Leaf fans wouldn't want that?
Very well said.
You wouldn't want Brady Tkachuk in there chucking him, sticking up for Matthews and Marner and all these guys? And I will say this to Zach McEwen, who's on the Sens. I like you, Zach, but I don't know how much he's been playing, but Brady's fighting more than anyone. They brought this kid in to fight.
Yeah.
And every time I see the ones Brady Tkachuk,
he's not on the ice enough. And Brady, whenever something happens, Brady's the guy just grabs him. That's true. Lives for it.
And I like Zach McEwen.
Yeah.
Zach, no, just I respect you, buddy. But
yeah.
No, the captain's fighting more than anyone.
I tell you, it's just good old time fucking fashion hockey. Good old time hockey.
How about these Sens guys, Sens fans DMing us on missing curfew and shit, saying it changed the complexion of the game? What?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rangers were probably going to find a way. If they gave up five, sure they're going to find a way. So, Brady, keep it up, fella. Love you here at Missing Curfew. We'll see you in Toronto. Fuck, he almost got hurt last night. He took it to the net. Took it to the net. Roman Josi put a stick in, and Brady went into the boards like it was, you know, when you slide in kind of. Yeah.
I mean, what a comeback.
Yeah.
What a comeback. And he had a great goal and even better celebration, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, Brady. I bet against you last night. I tell you what, that Nashville Predators team, they play hard.
I know, but
they should have beat the Oilers the other night. And I thought, this is the game where Fact Daddy's going to get them going. They came out 3-0. They pulled their goalie. Corposalo came in. They lost.
They got caught sleeping in the third against Ottawa. Snooze fest.
Listen, these teams that get down, and Ottawa's a prime example. When you open, let them just free flow and they got nothing to lose, it's tough. So, Chucky, Brady, keep going, fella. Up, dog, let's back up the Brinks truck here. Beep, 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 beep. Owen Tippett, who Larry Flowers seems to think that he's the only guy that knew this guy was going to be good. Flowers, you dumb.
That's just because I was kind of like, really? Okay, show me.
Guy's a first rounder of the fucking Panthers.
I know, but I was just saying, when is he going to finally turn it on? Well, he proved it.
8 years, $49.6 million bananas. That's a lot of nanners. Average year, listen, $6.2 million a year. And listen,
make me banana pancakes.
We love Keith Jones and we love Daniel Briere. I think this is a home run for them.
Yeah,
that's a
great deal.
I think Owen Tippett, listen, he's got 18 goals in 46 games. So he's on pace for over 35, close to 40. 24 years old, right-handed shot guy that could fly. Actually, they have these stupid things on them now where they say how fast you're going.
Yeah, how the distance and all that. Yeah.
Well, this must have been broke because Connor McDavid's the fastest guy in the NHL, but they said this guy has the fastest clock time.
Someone in Philly is just juicing him up.
Yeah, McDavid's the fastest guy out there.
I would say this, and this goes to all players, you know, young, old. When your team wins and you're not expected to do, you know, many things, everyone kind of benefits, you know, from this. Whether you get the extra year on your deal or you're the old-time vet that, you know, is stringing it out at the end of your career or, you know, or you're a young guy like this and you still haven't proved yourself, but everyone gets paid when your team does well. And quite frankly, the Philadelphia Flyers now with new face in management, new face in ownership, and a new squad that's playing really, really hard, this is just the beginning of, like, some of these guys that are going to reap the benefits of that.
I'm going to say, listen, anytime you can get 49 bananas, good on you.
Yeah.
Jonesy and Danny B, I think this is a great – I think this one's going to age where he's going to be, you know, in 4 years, like, I should be making eight.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Should be making eight.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Congrats, buddy. Enjoy those bananas. Zach Parise, 1 year, $825K to my Colorado Avalanche, great depth signing. We need all the depth we can get there.
Does this prove that Landy's maybe not coming back, Obes, or what are you thinking?
God, I hope not. I didn't even think of it that way.
No, but could, well,
I'd have to take a
really.
We have to take a commercial break here.
Yeah,
every group.
Landy. No, I know, but you know, this is a good deal. Whether Zach Parise plays 5 games or the next 35 games, I think having him for $825, just what he's brought in the past. He's still chasing a Stanley Cup, and you know he's been a great player. Is his foot speed there? Probably not. But does the guy go to the right areas and the guy battle for his teammates? He does. 82 games. He didn't miss a game last year. 21 goals, 13 assists. I mean, he's still produced. So you got to give him the benefit of doubt.
Yeah.
Way through the season.
It's a great depth signing. It's funny. I want to ask you about that. Like, he's got to jump in here. I don't care where he's been skating or what he's been doing. To jump in here now in January, where this is the time of year, especially right around All-Star break, where the guys are probably in their best shape of the year, right? 40 games in, you're not too banged up. You're in ultimate game shape. For him to jump right in now, it's going to be a little bit of adjustment for him.
I think we brought it up earlier, about 20 minutes ago on this podcast, but this might be as good of a time as any throughout a season, Obi, down the stretch, to come in. You know, he's not going on an All-Star break. He's coming in right now. He's probably skating with the team. He's putting his gear. He's testing out new gloves, pants, doing this thing. He's going to skate by himself for 3 or 4 days. And then, you know, Colorado's been off since, what, Saturday?
Yeah.
But, right? McKinnon went and got fucking 4 goals, or Hattie, or whatever the hell he did. Lit it up. He's been going crazy. They're going to come back from All-Star break, and they're going to skate. It might be their only time they practice for 2 or 3 days together. So this is a great time, I think, to come back and just at least get some drills, some timing to work on systems. You know what it's like when you come back from All-Star break? Coach kind of is like, okay, guys, sticks. Reminder here, you're going to sweat it out, and we're going to get back to the basics. And that's kind of just what a guy needs. I think it's better than, you know, call it a month ago when there's no practices. There's no practices a month ago. Guys are, you know, you're in the dog days, and you're just basically battling it out.
Time will tell. That's going to bump big Curtis McDermott out of the lineup, who I've loved watching play this year. Like, he gets on the forecheck and just tries to kill people. I love it. So back up the Briggs truck. We'll see if it pays out. Landy, I hope you're coming back. We'll be right back at Missing Curfew.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Mr. Curfew. Up Dog, get this guy a Labatt Blue.
Big Fella, presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What makes me thirsty?
Yeah, thirsty. Tasty. Well, don't worry about it. This weekend and next week, all week, you're going to be enjoying a plentiful of Labatt Blue Light.
I'm well rested. I had my time in the desert Wednesday, Thursday. I couldn't even play golf Friday because I was so fucking hurting. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I've recovered. I'm fresh.
He's feeling it, folks. He's fresh.
Get this guy Labatt Blue. Listen, to all you San Jose Shark fans, our boy Casey, I've been hard on you guys. The teal helmets with the white jerseys is not National League. We all know where you guys are in the standings. But listen, these new black jerseys that our boy Tico, we're having Rafi Torres driving in that muscle car. Tico, I love you. Listen, these black jerseys, now we're talking. They're National League. They look great. So, hey, to the guy in San Jose who designed these or the boys up there, get them a Blue Light Up Dog. I love these black jerseys. And Tico, you're a legend.
To everyone involved this weekend's game, Panthers-Penguins, Friday night, all you fucks, get those guys a Labatt Blue Light. Right off the draw, fights, another fight, all game long, Obes, back and forth. Letang was fucking in the mix all the time. Guys hitting each other, spear here, drop the gloves. It was good old-fashioned hockey. I'm sitting in the men's room at Madison Club with the men's room operator, Big Al. What a guy. He makes a great drink. And we're just like, is this not the best hockey game you've watched in a long time? because after every whistle, they could show a highlight from the game of guys going at it, and they're still going at it. And that's a sign of playoff time. Hockey's just around the corner. You got a Penguin team that just quite hasn't been playing, you know, up to par in the way they should. And you got a Panther team that just has it going again. And they're playing tough. And good teams find a way to win good games and play hard hockey. And that's just what these guys are loving. But hits, bites, scrums, fans were loving it. Get those guys Labatt Blue Light, though.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I was on my couch in the fetal position. But it was bringing joy to my I don't want to say dead soul, but my hurting soul. I was just watching this game being like, this is unbelievable.
That's great.
The fans in there, like, for people who say we got to get physicality and fighting and scrums out of the game, go watch another game, because this was unbelievable hockey. Emotion, it was just great. So I'm with you on that one. Get this guy Labatt Blue. Connor Hellebuyck, listen, I lost my lock of the night, but it wasn't his fault. He played unbelievable. I love the baby blue jerseys, but his gold pads that he had with these baby blue jerseys, I mean, panty soup, dude. They were unbelievable.
I wanted to ask you, like, I love the jerseys, but do you think it's maybe too much to just change your gloves and all that stuff for one game every, say, 3 weeks? Because
you wear those gloves in practice.
I know, and you think you would a lot, right? But how many times do you practice? And again, this is something that we should just talk about.
You and me, we have to practice every day.
I used to take the Scotty optional.
You have to practice every day.
The optional skate.
You have to practice every day.
I know, but fuck, your star's on, and they're the ones playing, but... You know, I'm watching the game, and the gloves, you know, old school gloves look great.
Yeah.
Like a Rawlings fucking catcher's mitt. But I'm watching, like, kind of how they're holding the puck, and I'm like, they're just fucking brand new gloves, and not many guys use brand new gloves. I used to like a nice new pair of mitts.
Yeah.
Like, I liked a nice, you know, new stuff all the time. But, you know, it just kind of made me think, you know.
So, question for Frost.
But I want to, how do we keep the same gloves and just keep the fucking different jersey, you know, the new jersey?
Yeah.
The gloves is the one thing. It's like busting out a new pair of skates. And in this case for Connor Hellebuyck, new pads. He still played pretty good. Let Ryan Reeves fucking tip one in on him. But
well, that's, by the way, Ryan Reeves, where you went for that goal, fella, you should go every game.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody who's going to move you.
I hear
you. There's nobody's going to even touch you.
Yeah.
It was a great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have known that. And this is actually, I somebody chirped me that Hedo from the Rangers. I put him on my top titty squad a couple weeks ago. He's been out all year. He's out of the season. What's his name? Mark Scheif. I always screwed up. I can't get the
Scheif. You got Scheffler.
I know.
You got Scotty. You got Scotty Scheffler, and then you got, who's the other golfer?
Xander
Schauffele. And then you have
Mark
Scheffler.
Is that what it is? It's hard now.
Golf hockey guys. So, it's tricky.
Listen, he's not in the lineup, and say what you want about him, without him in the lineup, they're not as good of a hockey club. So I wish I would have known that before I put my lock of the night in. But I thought Hellebuyck looked unbelievable. And then last but not least here, Stuart Skinner. I mean, if you go back to, you know, when the Oilers were playing shitty, if Max or Princey pulled up the archives of this show, I said Stuart Skinner's not the guy. Well, I mean, he looks unbelievable.
Yeah, he's so big, he's good, he's confident.
He's just good. I mean, his angles look good, his rebound control, which, you know, I told him, he should watch Aiden Hill when it comes to rebound control, because they're kind of the same kind of tendy. His rebound control when I watch Norris now has been unbelievable. So Stuart Skinner, wherever you are in your All-Star break, fella, get yourself a blue light. And then just parlaying the Oilers 16 games straight. It's almost too bad that they have to go on their break, and I think they come back and play Pittsburgh. Listen, Oilers fans, the Oilers team, everybody get yourself a blue light over the break. Their team is absolutely humming. And our boy Corey Perry made his return to the lineup. Didn't take him long.
No.
First shift, right to the net, scrummed it up, got thrown on his ass, had a big hit in the corner on one of the Nashville Predators defensemen, Fabry, or whatever his name is. I thought Perry's looked unbelievable. He's playing with Holloway and your boy McLeod, which I think is a perfect, as long as Perry can keep up.
Skate.
Yeah, as long as he can keep up.
Yeah, that's good. And he's the vet that they could use on that line, right? Like, hey, get to the bench and, hey, fucking, let's go, boys. You know, things like that. It's great.
So right now it goes Draisaitl, McDavid, Hyman, Kane, Nugent-Hopkins, Ward Fogel, who's come a long way, Holloway, McLeod, Perry, Janmark, Ryan, Connor Brown. This is no disrespect to Derek Ryan, but I would get a bigger fourth-line center in there if I was Kenny Holland. And we know
he's like a little water bug out there, though. He plays hard and he's effective. He's efficient for a youth. youthful, smaller guy.
I guess they picked up Bjugstad last year, right, Bjugge? So they went for a big center.
So it's like Perry or Bjugge.
Paris looks good in the uniform, man, wearing number 90. Made a couple nice little plays, but I think that's a nice line for him. So get yourself on the bat, blue fella. Milk carton time here, missing curfew, up dog. Brandon Gallagher, a guy who I absolutely love. Take him on my team. When the Canadians went to the finals, he was a big, big reason. I'll never forget how his face looked after that run. I love this kid. I want physicality in hockey as much as you or more than you, as much as anyone. To me, there is no room for this hit. To stick your elbow out, I think he's lucky he only got five. Honestly, I thought he could have got more than this. Brandon Gallagher, I take you on my team, fella. I think you're a great player. Learn from this. Up dog, I'm putting that hit on the milk carton.
Boy, did I take some heat, fella. I took some heat. And one was from our boy, Joffrey Lupo. I watched that hit. I watched it actually like kind of live. Like, I mean, I think Princey put it out on missing curfew not 5 minutes after it happened. Brendan Gallagher is a, you know, never been suspended in his 12-year career. I love the way he plays, like as you just said. This is what I have an issue with. D-men who try to get to the red line. Try to get to the red line. That's me protecting my goal line in football. That's my catcher in baseball protecting home plate. For me, when you get to the red line and you make a play, you are so game to hit. Like, what are you doing watching your pass? You have Brendan Gallagher who's you know, a foot smaller than you, and you have your head down, making a pass, watching it over here. You got to be ready to get hit. And for me, I've been hit so many times after I make a play, but, you know, I had to learn at a young age. I had to make does he stick his elbow out, or does he just basically get in his way, Obes? I love this hit. Watch, just ding. Well, I guess his elbow's up a little bit. So, but the watch is slow-mo. The head is just down.
I hear what you're saying. And when you're around that red line, especially when we played,
you got to be ready to get hit. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm protecting the red line.
Does anyone grab this fucking
guy? Does the guy not see him coming from a million miles away? Like it's...
Oh, they tried to grab him. Oh, there's Matty Barzal in there.
So anyway, I wrote on our thing, like, hey, can we not hit guys anymore? Especially around the red line. Like, hey D, pick your head up. Just if you have your head up, you're going to reverse hit me and you're going to hit me harder than I'm going to hit you. Right?
Yeah.
And that's almost what I did to... That's what I tried to
that's
do to fucking
did.
Luke Shen.
That's
when
what
I,
you did to the kid from Hungary.
Yeah. Yeah, he tried to get to the red line, but he lost the puck and I buried him. But that's how I went to hit Luke Shen. I mean, but Luke Shen saw me coming and reversed me and ended my career.
Dude, by the way, you told that story at Ike's at El Dorado, and we might have to do just like a little 30-minute missing curfew where you go through that whole... The whole way you ended your career. Like, we can't get into it now because it won't do it justice. But you hear fighters say, go out on their shield.
Yeah.
Like, the way you told that story that night, and I've known you forever, and you're my bro, but I don't know, the way you said it, I was like, dude, we gotta do a little 30-minute segment here.
We can.
Because Updog went out on his shield, and he's pissing blood, and he's fucking in one. So Updog says, let the boys play.
Yeah, keep
Georgie,
your head up.
He said the defenseman... should have his head up
at the red line.
At the red line,
he'll get hit.
He's going in here. He's going in. Where am I? You're in Montreal, buddy. Where am I? Updog says, let the boys play. I say, Brandon Gallagher, you're on the milk carton. But we both can agree, we love Gallagher.
Yes,
I love the way he plays
hard. He's what Toronto Leafs have been missing in the playoffs. He's got fucking cuts and blue eyes, black eyes. And he plays hard. He's always fucking banged up because he plays the right way.
Yeah, and I would say this. Don't change your game, Galley. Don't change your game. Like, just learn from it. Oh, see, Uppy, if he doesn't lift his elbow, if he just drives through him, that's a great elbow right here because this is what you're saying.
Does he hit him with his elbow, though, or is it a follow-through?
Oh, but you're right. His head's down. If he just would have drove through him, he could have.
Yeah.
But he stuck it up and...
Yeah, like if he drills him like in the side of the shoulder or the ribs, maybe you just, you know, but he tried to get him in the chest and instead he got him in the chin. And that's the problem with hockey, right? We skate with our necks out like a fucking rooster. And it's like principal point of contact is the beak of all, you know.
I mean, listen, you're right. The kid has to have his head down. If he hits him with his shoulder, I think he still gets suspended because it's new NHL, but he wouldn't have got five games. Anyways, I didn't love that.
I'd love to see how tall Adam Pelech is.
He's taller than Gallagher.
He's probably 6'4".
Yeah, I got it right here again. Like,
Yeah. So I'm going to miss that angle.
Hey, listen, I don't mind it. So milk carton around the National League up, dog. Last weekend, we put Pierre-Luc Dubois on the milk carton. Todd McClellan came out and basically said, listen, you've been here long enough. And I'm not saying Drew Doughty is saying this to just Pierre-Luc Dubois, but Dewey's saying it to the rest of the team, the whole team. And when you're Drew Doughty and you have two cups, an Olympic gold, a World Cup, World Juniors, you're an absolute legend. This is his quote. We've got guys in this room that are too worried about themselves, worried about their points. It's about the team, not about yourself. Guys on this team, we need to realize that. I love this message. I love that he's fired up. He realizes that the way they're playing right now is they're not going to get in. No. So wakey, wakey, boys. You got a great thing in L.A. You get to live in Manhattan Beach or Hermosa Beach. Your practice rink is sick right there in El Segundo. You got great people in the front office. Rob Blake's a great GM. It's time for them to get going.
You have a great coach.
Great coach.
You got Stoli, babe. You got a great face-off guy if you need a guy to teach you how to snap it back. No, you hit it right on. You said it last week, and then, you know, McClellan came out with the comments, and I remember you calling Princey saying, this is exactly what I was talking about. Get this out, which yeah, you've iso-cammed these guys. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I mean, it's probably at him. It's probably at him. It's probably at Fiala. It's probably at, you know, some of their younger guys.
That's probably the two guys it's at right
now. Yeah, I mean, and listen, boys, you better have tough skin, because if you can't take criticism from your own teammates like that and it starts to bleed out throughout the league that you are a, you know, soft, and I'm going to say soft because if you can't take criticism from your teammates, you are soft. You gotta find a way. You guys are getting paid the big bucks. And for the other guys, you know, a guy in the fourth line is not worried about his points. So you got to take those three guys off. You know, you got to consider D-men aren't worried about points. This is directed at a couple guys who can change the way they play the game, show some effort, get fucking other guys on your back, and then turn it around. We had the Kings, you know, the way they play, they're big. They got good goaltending. They got great coaching. They can score. There's no reason why they should only have two wins in the last 16. There's no way that they should be sitting outside a wild card spot with the way that they played to start the season off. So for me, you know, I like it. I like when teams internally bring it to the media just because enough's enough.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And when
enough is enough.
When you're a veteran guy like that, and listen, I said it last week. I love Blakey. I didn't think they needed that Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. Right, you get Vilardi off your team. I follow a guy they like. They traded Sean Durzi to the desert, who I thought was a great, great young defenseman. I don't know. I think sometimes the GM, the moves you don't make are the best ones sometimes, right, when things don't work out. And now they're stuck with this Pierre-Luc Dubois for the next 8 years.
Oof. Eight.
Something like that.
Yeah, that might change. You never know.
Yeah.
You know.
But Dewey, boys love your Mr. Cure. If you keep snapping around, he's playing great, man. He's playing great. All-Star Weekend. Listen, did you see Mario Lemieux in this OVO hoodie? So sick. The hoodie's sick.
Mario in it?
The hoodie's sick. His hair is sick.
Congrats. Now it's Mario.
Mario, baby.
Jake, what is he doing? He can't pick a bet. He can't pick a winning bet in the UFC. Not that I could pick a winning bet in my DraftKings single-game parlays, but Mario?
Mario, baby.
Unreal.
Looking good. Listen, the boys are coming in hot. We fly in tomorrow night. Fellow tour, baby. We are going to be at Gretzky's pop-up basement. We'll be there Thursday and Friday afternoon, hanging out, shooting some content. It's cool what Ty and Trevor have done here, the thing they're making.
Yep.
So I'm sure people are going to stop by there. Check out this Sauce All-Star shirt. You can get it on Sauce Hockey. Buttery soft. Looking forward to getting on the road up, dog. Looking forward to getting Toronto, the mecca of hockey, for the All-Star Weekend.
Absolutely. We'll be at the Fan Fair with our friends at Kits Eyewear. Make sure you can see straight and look good with the blue light wearing shade spectacles. Listen, it's going to be great. I like when we get out in the mix, Obes, fella tour, fan facing, seeing the fellas, hanging out. Come, if you see us, come shoot the show with us, have a blue light. We're looking forward to this. Boys, we missed the road. We're good on the road together.
Yeah.
We got Maxi, we got A-Hall, we got the fellas, we got Princey showing up, and Larry Flowers, who somehow jumped on the bandwagon. And then we're excited to see all these all-stars too, right? It's a time we get to come to see the NHL's finest and what they're up to.
And the good thing about Toronto is there's going to be so many alumni around there too, right? Like, there's so many guys that we've played with that we're going to bump into. Matt Sundin's going to be in town. Ty Domi's going to be there. Dougie G is going to be there. Darcy Tucker is going to be floating around. It's going to be a great weekend. And listen, they haven't had sun in Toronto in like 40 days, but we're getting sun. Forecast says sunny sun. Friday
yeah.
and Saturday. So Up Dog, can't wait to get on the road with you. Like I said, fellas, if you see us, come by, say hello. Yeah. You got some new gear? You ready to rock? Or what?
I'll figure something out.
You got something
to figure out. I got a couple. It'll be black on black or some nice boots. I don't have many winter jackets there in Aspen, but I will make it work.
I still got time today, seeing how we're in here so friggin' early. You can go to the store right now. But Maxie Morgan, All Pass Media, thank you. Up Dog, you the man. That was Mr. Curfew.
Fellas.